Welcome to the show. I'm Shane Norton, a.k.a. The Sports Card Nobody, and this is another episode of the Sports Card Nobody podcast. All right, tonight's going to be a little bit of a different show. So full-on confession, I talk about it all the time. I have a daughter. She's 3.5 years old. Phenomenal, phenomenal little kid. Well, the last couple of days, she's been dealing with not feeling great. Last night was a brutal, brutal night's sleep where things have kind of been up and down. But tonight during bath time, she confessed that her ear was bothering her. Little by little, that got worse. And we had to sort of rush her off to a walk-in tonight. And sure enough, she's an ear infection. So that has sort of thrown a wrench into the very unimportant plans that are this podcast, that is this hobby, hoping that the medication that she gets is going to get her on the up and get her feeling so, so much more better. So I'm sure you all absolutely understand, but nonetheless, I will apologize quickly for the shorter nature of this episode. Plus, I'm not going to do the top five. My notes are all sort of all over the place, so I'll get back to regularly scheduled programming next week. But nonetheless, I still wanted to sit down. I still wanted to talk a little bit about the hobby, talk a little bit about where I'm at and some things that are coming up, and cover a topic that I find sort of near and dear to my heart anyway when it comes to collecting and it comes to being a part of this hobby, whatever hobby you might be. Again, I'm sports cards, but I talk about collecting in general. I think that other things that you collect really relate to what I talk about with the sports cards, whether it's comic books or action figures, stamps, I mean, whatever it might be. I'm sure that the main topic of tonight's episode is going to have some relevance to what it is you do in a collecting hobby. But why don't we get to it? First, I actually want to talk a little bit before I get into that about the sports world some more. The baseball season is just about to wrap up. Judge, as of this recording, I don't know if the Yankees are playing tonight or not, stuck on 61 home runs. Pretty awesome that he has gotten to 61. We're likely to see him get to 62 plus, and we'll see how far he can get with the final three games, whatever it is that's left. But man, it's pretty awesome. You know, when you sit back and think about the history of baseball and you think about the history of sports and I mean, baseball in particular, to think that games were played back in the 1800s, we're talking over 100 years ago. Professional baseball has changed so much over the years and really evolved, starting with the American National League merging and forming Major League Baseball and then the segregation with the walls, with the finally coming down where other than just white men got to play the game. We got to start seeing African Americans play the game. We got to start seeing international people play the game. Shohei Ohtani right now is having a second season that is unlike anything we've ever seen before. It took, you know, how many years for the segregation walls to finally drop where that has become a reality here in 2022. It's wild. When you look at the history of the game, you can really trace the history of our country. It's really, I love baseball. I talk about it all the time. I romanticize it so very much. But when you think about all of that history, all of those years, all of that evolution, the fact that we got to witness in our lifetimes some major, major things happen, starting with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa in the summer of 98, one of the most memorable seasons in baseball history. You had not only that phenomenal home run chase with both McGwire and Sosa chasing down and eventually beating Maris that year, but you had the Yankees putting on one of the greatest singular team seasons of all time. They won 114 games. They absolutely dominated through the playoffs and won a championship. We got to witness that. We got to be a part of that. We got to enjoy that summer. And sully that summer any way you want nowadays. We understand. I understand completely the PEDs and everything that's, you know, comes with that territory. Getting to watch that summer, getting to be a part of it, was still something I will forever cherish. To me, the steroids, the controversies that have sort of come since then don't take away from that enjoyment that I got to have in 1998. That was something to truly, truly behold. And then fast forward to, I forget exactly which year it was, in the 2000s, when Barry Bonds broke Mark McGwire's record. 73 home runs he ended up hitting that season, where Bonds remains the home run king. I'm a Dodgers fan. I hate Barry Bonds. I hate the Giants. But nonetheless, I still find ways to enjoy and almost appreciate the fact that I get to see this in my lifetime. What Babe Ruth did in his day in the 30s, I mean, that was something that was legitimately revolutionizing baseball, something that the likes of which you thought you'd never see again. And then Maris, you know, 30 years later, whatever it was, finally becoming another guy who was challenging those records. And now we've got to see so many historical things in our own lifetimes. And that's awesome. I truly appreciate that. And now we have Aaron Judge at 61 again. Again, maybe I'm recording, I might be behind. Hopefully he got to 62. Hopefully he gets to 62 just to see him keep going. But we get to see that in our lifetime. And that's phenomenal. And last week I talked a lot about Albert Pujols. Pujols is now at 702 home runs. 702. He is starting to kind of tease. I mean, it's not going to happen with just a few games left. He's not going to catch Ruth at 714, but that is entirely possible that he could do that. And meanwhile, Bonds broke that record, you know, a decade or so ago, whatever that was. I didn't get to see Henry Aaron do it, but it's pretty wild that we got to, you know, witness somebody get as far as Bonds did, whatever you want to say. Again, same thing about the steroids and all that. But now we get to see Albert Pujols at least tease it, get to another magical round number of 700. Such a fantastic thing in this sort of echelon of unimportant things, right? You know, it's sports. I'm not out there playing. Nobody. I don't know Albert Pujols. I don't know Aaron Judge. But when you're a fan and you can sort of wrap yourselves up in these accomplishments that other humans are doing, I'm pretty thankful that I got to witness some of this in my lifetime, however long that goes. I got a long way to go, hopefully, so I'll get to see a lot more. In the same vein, though, you know, just like that summer of 98, I found this to be a little interesting. The summer of 98 was all about McGuire and all about Sosa. But hey, meanwhile, that Yankees team was rattling off one of the greatest seasons of all time. This year is all about Judge. It's all about Pujols and another, you know, two home run feats that are happening, not to mention the Shohei Ohtani stuff, which I just touched on, doing things that we've never seen before, we may never see again. And oh, by the way, the Dodgers are putting together one of the greatest regular seasons of all time. Who knows what that becomes in the playoffs, but nonetheless, I mean, they're up to 110 wins already. I think that's like six teams have ever done that. Nobody in the National League since 1909, I think, is current streak was at. And with a couple games left, they can get to 111, 112, 113. I think there's three games left, so they're not going to catch the 98 Yankees, but still in the realm of possibility, not to mention the run differential. The Dodgers are putting together one of the greatest run differential seasons ever done, especially in the modern era. The only teams they track now, what you would consider the modern era, some of the 30s and 27, you know, that those Yankee teams back then. I mean, that's still almost 100 years, if you can even still call that modern. I don't know. Maybe this is the ultra-modern era, you know, getting back to the card glossary there. But, yeah, it's cool. We get to witness this, and we get to buy cards and collect cards that represent these things. I get to collect Dodgers cards. Hopefully there's people out there collecting Aaron Judge cards. I actually picked one up last year and made a decent amount of money on it, you know, in my nobody realm. I doubled my money on it. It wasn't that expensive anyway, but I liked Aaron Judge, so I bought his card last year. And, you know, when things were getting really, really hyped this year, I was able to make a little bit of money on it. And that's awesome. You know, I don't do too well in the flip game here in this hobby, but that was a win that I'll take, that helped me get something else that I'll truly cherish, which is a win. So go me. but yeah, okay. So I'm going to stop talking too much about baseball. I know that a lot of people who listen to me are actually wrestling fans, and I don't know if my love of other sports translates, but it is what it is. You know, these are things that I am genuinely, genuinely passionate about. So I love that the baseball season's wrapping up. I love that we're about to get into October proper, brand new playoff format this year, which is going to be super interesting. I don't know how it's going to shake out. Seems like no matter how it shakes out, it always hurts the Dodgers somehow. But maybe that's just because I'm a fan and, you know, all I ever see is what affects me. But nonetheless, I can't wait. October proper is here. It's right around the corner. We're going to see some playoff baseball, and I am so pumped for that. I hope you are too. But to the other side of the coin, football is in full effect. The 49ers are actually playing tonight. I'm trying to record this and figure out the ear infection stuff, so I don't even know if I'll get to watch the game tonight. But the 49ers are still not a team that I am super excited about. They're playing the Rams. Almost beat them in the NFC Championship game last year, but they came up a little bit short. I don't know. I don't really believe in the NFC West this year as a whole. I don't think the Rams are going back, but we'll see. It's tough, though. Something I'll touch on with the 49ers in terms of the card world, though. I had tweeted out, I think, before the season that it's sort of tough because I would have loved to have gotten a Trey Lance card, but the prices were just through the roof, and there's no chance on earth I was going to spend the amount of money that a Trey Lance card goes for. So the sort of vicious, I don't know, catch 22 of it all is I would need Trey Lance to be terrible in order to afford his cards. Well, he got hurt. Hopefully maybe prices come down because of him getting hurt means he doesn't necessarily stink. So he might come back next year. I don't know. Nonetheless, I am still on the lookout for some Trey Lance cards and some 49ers cards in general. I've talked about on this podcast before how I am a huge 49ers fan, but I have almost nothing in terms of a 49ers PC. It's really a big hole in my collecting, which I intend to fill out at some point, but I don't know. Who knows? Football is tough this year. My fantasy team's terrible. My real team's terrible. Bah, what are you going to do? Go Dodgers, and let's get to the NBA season. All right. So like I said, this episode's definitely going to be a little bit different. I am going to apologize again for that. I really do appreciate your understanding. For those of you that are sticking with me with this shorter episode. Sorry about that. And yeah, but listen, if you hate it, if you don't like what I'm doing here, you know, if you say, hey, give us real episodes, let me know. Review the episode, you know, at your podcast hub of choice. Let me know. Say, hey, this doesn't work for me. Or maybe it does work for you. And as always, you can reach out to me. I'm at SportsCardNobody on Instagram. I'm at SportCardNobody on Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well. I've had a lot of folks reaching out to me, which is cool. I love the conversations. I say this all the time. I really genuinely appreciate when folks reach out to me. I try to respond as much as possible. I try to keep those lines of communication open. Sometimes I miss them, or sometimes the messages go into my requests that I don't always catch right away. But please don't hesitate if you have anything to say to say hello, because I love it. It's one of my favorite parts about doing a podcast. But all right, so I want to get to the main topic now. Enough pontificating about my sports loves and passions and romanticizing the great game of baseball. No, let's talk about the hobby. Let's talk about collecting cards or collecting in general. And an avenue I actually want to take tonight, I think fits my current mindset or frame of mind as I'm trying to figure out how my daughter's doing, is actually a little more on the, I guess, the negative side or the downer side of the hobby. And there's a ton of negative aspects about the hobby. And that's, I'm not necessarily going the way you think I'm going to go with this. No. I guess the best way to sort of lean into this is, I don't know, this was like a couple months ago now. This is not something new that I interacted with on Twitter. But there was somebody that sent out a tweet, somebody whom I don't follow, who does not follow me, but, you know, because it was hobby related, I saw it maybe because a couple people had already commented on it, whatever the case may be. I saw, I'm going to paraphrase because I don't have it in front of me and I don't remember exactly what the tweet was, but somebody had sent out into the Twitter sphere that the hobby to them just doesn't feel accessible. When they see the sales that are done and they see the cards that are pulled and they look at those and then compare it to their own situation in the hobby, this person basically said that they just feel like they don't belong. They feel like there's no place in this hobby for them. And then when I first came upon this tweet, this public share, this sort of, lamenting of someone, you know, how they feel with their place in the hobby, there was very quickly some responses back that weren't very encouraging, I guess. I don't even want to try to pretend I know what they were saying now, but they were definitely knocking this person a little bit for this opinion, for this feeling. And I didn't dig that. I didn't jive with that very well. So I responded, and actually so did some other people. I think Rob Gerard, the sports car therapist, was somebody who jumped in as well. But I responded back basically sharing my situation and why I started this podcast. I've shared this on this podcast a million times, but it was watching content. It was watching other content. It was specifically Sports Card Investor. I've shared this story a lot where I was watching and realizing pretty quickly that I also did not belong. You know, I did not play the games that these folks were playing, these $20,000 trade games and this legitimate idea that you're investing or building a 401k, even if it's in, you know, even if that saying is sort of in jest or whatever it might be. I mean, there's real players in this game. I mean, there's real big money that is exchanging hands at a level that I do not believe I will ever reach. And I don't even know if I have it in me to want to achieve some of the levels that these folks are playing in. So I felt that. I felt the same feelings that this individual who shared this on Twitter was feeling. I understood where they were coming from. You know, I love collecting stuff. I've collected comic books my entire life. I've collected Hot Toys action figures. I have always had to fight myself to stop finding something new to collect. It, you know, it could become a dangerous problem. It feels like I just have this collector's mentality. I want to be in it. I want to be a part of these sort of collector cultures. So when it became sports cards, and it became sports cards and wrestling cards and Marvel cards, and it became cards in general, and it was obvious that it was becoming something a little bit more than just a passing fad or something like that, that it was going to be something I really wanted to dive into and start to express and define myself a little bit in, this feeling of not belonging kind of sucked, to put it plain and simple. And so I wanted to find something to do about it. What I chose to do about it was start this podcast, start this YouTube channel, start this journey that I have been on for pushing a year now. You know, I think that my first YouTube channel, when I started this as a YouTube show, was in November of last year, which means I am about a month away from 1 year of content creation. That was my choice. That was how I wanted to combat those feelings. But not everybody wants to create content, right? Not everybody wants to sit here in front of a mic and make a fool of themselves as they try to stumble their way through a journey and share that with people who may or may not care less, or who may be listening to this and, you know, think negative things about me. Now, again, I've had a phenomenal response from people who have responded to me on Instagram and Twitter and all that. It's been one of my favorite parts about doing this. But nonetheless, there is the fear that, I mean, there's somebody out there who's listening to this and go, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. This guy's an idiot. Why would I even put this show on? Well, I mean, if you are thinking that, the show really isn't for you. My voice isn't for you. My voice is for the people, for the most part, that share these types of, you know, tweets, you know, who share these types of feelings. And so I really related to the tweet that put out there, and I sent my words of encouragement, and there was a nice friendly back and forth, and that was amazing. I hope that that individual came away from that interaction feeling a little bit better about their place in this silly thing that we do. I hope they stuck around, and I hope that they continued to pursue their passions. But I actually wanted to expand on that a little bit, because the feelings that this person was having is not rare. You know, we talk so much about this hobby, or in this hobby, about FOMO. We talk about this fear of missing out, and we talk about how it shapes the way that we go after things, the way that we collect things. So, you know, you might look behind me right now and say, oh, that guy's got a Bret Hart, you know, gold select global icons card, and I'm a Bret Hart guy, and I would love to have that card, and oh my God, I better go buy it and spend too much money on this card just to make sure I secure it, right? That's usually where we're coming from. We're talking about FOMO. Or even worse is, you know, something like the Michael Jordan 86 Flair, an iconic card, a card that defines this hobby essentially. Seeing that card everywhere, and it is everywhere, but seeing it being shared all over Instagram, all over Twitter, seeing it at every card show you go to, seeing it all over eBay, seeing it all over every single content channel that you watch or listen to. I mean, that card is everywhere. And seeing that and thinking to yourself, if I want to be in this hobby, I got to go get that card. I have to be a part of this. This is how I get myself to be a part of this culture. This is how I get to be a part of this community. And so you go out and you buy that card. Are you a Jordan fan? Did you watch Jordan play? Do you care to go back and watch his highlights if you're too young for that? Is Jordan your guy? Because if not, I don't know if there's a lot of reason for you to be getting swept up in that. Sure, if you want to make the investments and you think that there's an opportunity there to make some money, I mean, you do you. But that type of FOMO is pretty dangerous when you start to collect things that you actually don't care about. You're only collecting them because the waves are pulling you that way. The crowds are just all stampeding in one direction and you're getting swept up in that because you just don't feel like you have any other way to go. Your blinders get put on and you just, that's what happens. That's where your mindset ends up. Always hobby the way you want to hobby. If you want to hobby with the mainstream, you go hobby with the mainstream. If you want to be a contrarian, you go be a contrarian. If you want to mix it all up and mix, match, and do whatever you want to do, you do that as well. But what I want to talk about is that is a common thing that you hear in this hobby is that FOMO problem and people try to steer you away from it. Makes total sense. But there's another sort of side of FOMO, and I don't know what it is. If it's I don't know what it is, but there's this feeling that relates to what this Twitter individual had shared that comes from watching other people collect. And I deal with this a lot. I can be a hot and cold kind of guy, hot and cold kind of collector, and it is what it is. You know, I'm going to be completely honest and transparent here as I talk about this. We'll just rewind a little bit to wrestling cards. My buddies, Justin Suplexes and Slapshots, my buddy Dave, who were part of this group chat, they've seen a lot of these ups and downs, and they've even shared some of their own. But going back to the wrestling cards, when I first got into the wrestling cards, I have talked about this a lot. I came upon the 2020 Finest WWE cards, realized I loved them, and started kind of going all in on those. And then when Prism was coming out and WrestleMania was coming out, there was this huge spike in wrestling cards. And very, very quickly, cards that were a steal a month ago were now starting to become not to the level of, you know, football cards by any stretch or basketball cards, but going on that path. And I realized kind of quickly, oh my God, I don't think I can afford these cards that I once thought I could afford. And started thinking to myself, I got to quit this already. I had this new thing that I thought I could really make a play for and enjoy and express myself through. Very quickly became, oh my God, this is just like everything else. I can't afford this. I can't keep this up. I'm not going to be able to accomplish the goals in this that I'm seeking out to accomplish. So what's the point? I should just quit collecting wrestling cards. There's no place for me there. It was exactly the sentiment being shared by the individual on Twitter, right? I had this like emotional sort of like dejection within myself where it felt like something that I was going to be thoroughly engulfed in was almost being taken away from me because of the market moving faster than I could. I didn't. Obviously, I kept going. I kept my head down. Prices kind of leveled out a little bit. I was able to sort of keep it going the way that I have been. But that's not to say that those feelings don't still creep up, right? You know, I mean, even now, as I look at other people who are collecting 2020 Finest specifically, and I've come upon a lot of different collectors now. I've come across a lot of different Instagram folks and Twitter folks and seen some of the things that people are collecting and realizing, there's no chance I'm going to have a set nearly as good as them. There's just no way. I mean, some of the super fractors are already taken and they're never going to be sold. And some of the rare reds are gone. Some of the golds are gone. And even when they pop up, the prices are so high. And it suddenly start to get these same, negative feelings about if I belong doing this. What's the point? Can I keep up? Do I want to keep up? It's not like I do, but if I can't accomplish some of the things that I want to accomplish, do I get the same enjoyment out of it? And this sort of like negative roller coaster within myself happens. And again, it relates right back to the exact same feelings of that person on Twitter. That person on Twitter who shared this sort of vulnerable thought and dealt with some negative responses to that, which, again, I was not a fan of because I can relate to that. And all I can say is the one saving grace about this hobby and about what we do collecting stuff, collecting cards, is that, man, there are so many lanes. There is just so many different ways that you can find enjoyment. And even in those sort of like negative moments that I definitely feel, and I'm sure others feel it as well, even in those negative moments, it's not that hard to find something else to really enjoy and have fun with. And if that individual on Twitter is listening to me or anybody else who's had those feelings, I mean, all I can do is share, I mean, one of the very best ways that I find enjoyment, regardless of what my collection is or is not doing, is the community. Starts with my closest friends, Suplexes and Slapshots. Go check them out on Instagram. My buddy Dave, my buddy Bobby, us sharing our collecting and sharing our mail days in these different group text messages on a daily basis. Man, that is so much fun. It is a blast. Even not even just mail days, sharing things we see on eBay that we find interesting or we know the other people might like, and just having that back and forth conversation, that means so much in terms of just having a blast every single day. You know, I might not be able to get to a card show every day. I might not get to, interact with strangers on Instagram every day, but I do get to have these group chats every single day. And every single day, there is an opportunity that the hobby is a part of that bonding group chat experience. And that just almost always lifts my spirits and reminds me about why this silly thing matters, because it's not just the act of collecting cardboard and having it sit behind you in a green screen background. It's sharing that, the sort of enjoyment that you can get out of it with friends, with family, and with complete and utter strangers. So the best thing that I think any of us can do in this hobby is to build out a hobby network, build out friends, just find other like-minded individuals or people who think completely different than you. You know, the fact that my buddy Justin collects hockey cards is amazing. I am a fair weather hockey fan. I root for the Kings when the Kings are good. I don't even know when they're good sometimes. I didn't know what a Young Guns truly was. Or I couldn't tell you the best things about hockey cards, but Justin can. Justin can tell you that. Justin can tell me that, and Justin does. You know, he's gifted me cards. He steered me in the direction of cards that he thinks I might like based on my sort of fair weather allegiances to the Kings. That's amazing. I have parts of my collection that I look at that not only express a little bit of passion for hockey or a little bit of passion for the Los Angeles Kings, but honestly, a little bit of an expression about my friendship with Justin, whom I have known since high school. That's dope. So find that. Find your ways to expand your circles. Reach out to me. I'm always happy to talk cards with anybody. I have now complete strangers in my Twitter and my Instagram chats that we talk about cards and cards that get shared that I don't necessarily care about but can appreciate and just have a nice back and forth thought and learn about. I mean, just like with Justin the hockey cards, I've had people teach me about Star Wars cards. I've learned about Marvel cards that I didn't know about. Hell, my entire wrestling love and obsession came from a complete stranger's podcast and other strangers podcasts and conversation that stirred out of that, that really helped me start to appreciate what the hell it was and just wrap myself up in that warm wrestling blanket. So that's it. Like I said a few times already, this is not a normal episode. I'm kind of flying through this one. I don't have any notes. I'm definitely flying by the seat of my pants trying to get this one out as I try to figure out the real priorities on the evening, which I'm going to get back to here in a minute. But I hope this relates to you. Again, I don't care if you're collecting comic books, if you're collecting magic cards, if you're collecting Pokemon, whatever it is, if you're really genuinely passionate about the hobby that you have chosen to dive into, there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. But I assure you, if you have not already, if you build out your hobby circle, you're going to find enjoyment beyond anything that you would have thought otherwise. That there it is. I hope this hits somebody. I hope it hits home. Like I said, though, review the show, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. If you think anything I'm saying here makes sense, if you think anything I'm saying here resonates, that would be amazing. At Sports Card Nobody on Instagram, at Sport Card Nobody on Twitter. But more than anything, if you are enjoying this, please share this with friends, share this with family, share this with the people in your damn hobby circle. Tell those folks, hey, go check out this idiot who doesn't know what he's talking about. It helps the show grow. I love it. Thank you for sticking with me through another bumpy night in the Sports Card Nobody household. Have a good night.